Okay, we'll do a little bit more Gemara. I also would like to do some Chazara. I don't want to run out of time before end of Zman. We're on the Gemara on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. In order to really understand this Gemara, you have to look back at the Mishnah, and we'll see that the Gemara is actually a very simple piece of Gemara. But it's a little bit confusing, and I'll explain to you what I mean until I eventually understood what the Gemara meant. When you realize what it means, you see it's very simple. Look back in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. We're dealing with the second half of the Mishnah, which are the halachas of the Melech, Loidon, Loidon in Oisai, Loi Meid, Loi Meid in Oisai, and then it says as follows: Loi Choyleitz, Veloi Choyltsin Leishtoi. Neither would he do chalitza to the wife of his deceased brother, and nor would his brother do chalitza to his widow in the event that the melech himself died. And then the Mishnah says, so too, loy miyabim veloy miyabmin leishtoi, says the Mishnah, the same halachas that apply to chalitza apply also to Yibum. So neither would he do Yibum, nor would one do Yibum to him. Says the Mishnah conclusion, Rabbi Yehuda, Im rotzo lachloitz o yilayabim. He seems to disagree and he says, no, if he actually wants to do Yibum, or he wants to do Chalitza, Zochur latoiv, then he will be remembered positively, and he has absolutely every right to do so. Omru loy, and the Chachamim responded, no, ein shomin loy, they do not listen to him. He does not have a choice. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he does have a choice, and if you'd like to do Yibum and Chalitza, we would be very happy with him, Zochor Latoiv, and the Rabbanon say that no. Now look in the Gemara and the Yud Tes on the base. If you look right to the top of the Omer, it's actually in Rashi. V'loi choyltsin le'ishtoi. Look at the second line. V'loi choyltsin le'ishtoi. Why would the brother of the Kohen Gadol not do chalitza to the freshly widowed wife of the Melech? Says the Rashi, mepnei she'asura li'nosei. The wife of the king is not afterwards allowed to marry anybody, as we'll see later on. Nobody marries the wife of the king. Any woman who is married to the king, if the king now dies, she cannot marry. What about the other way around? What about in the case that the melech has to do chalitza to his sister-in-law? He doesn't do that. Why not? Says Rashi, chalitza, on the third line at the top of the Omer, says Rashi, Chalitza gnai hi loy. It's a gnai, it's considered a shameful thing for a melech to have to come to Bezdin, lovo le Bezdin, and as we know, what is the chalitza process? The tehei roikekes lefonov, and she has to then spit in front of him. The yibum is also a gnai hu loy, lokum al shem ochiv. So both chalitza and yibum is considered a gnai. So chalitza, I think we all understand why that's a gnai. It's a shameful thing for after him to come to Bezdin and then remove the shoe and then she has to spit. It's all a little bit degrading, perhaps, for a melech. The chiddush is that yibum is also considered a gnai. For him now to have to take his sister-in-law, the woman previously married to his now deceased brother, and marry her is considered a gnai. Not absolutely clear why that's a gnai, but either way, Rashi calls it a gnai. Now, look into the Gemara and you'll see there's something a little bit tricky, but when you crack the code, you'll see it's a very simple piece of Gemara. Says the Gemara on the seventh line, Loi choyleitz v'loi choyltsin. So whose opinion is that? That's the Rabbanon's opinion that the king does not do chalitza. Says the Gemara, then it says v'chulei. Says the Gemara, Eini, is that really true? V'ha'omer Rav Ashi, didn't Rav Ashi say the following? Afilu leman de omar nosi shemochal al kvoidoi, kvoidoi mochul. There is an opinion that says that the nosi, whom we have to honor, but if he is moichel, if he foregoes his honor, then indeed his honor is foregone and he has the right to waive his honor. Even according to that person, but a melech shemolach shemochal al kvoidoi, ein kvoidoi mochul. But a king has no right to waive his honor. A king cannot say, yes, you are chayav to honor me, but don't worry, I will waive that. Why not? Shenemar soim tosim olecho melech, quote unquote. You have to place on you, over you, a king, from which we learn, shetehe e mosoi olecho, question mark, that his fear, his awe, should be on you. It doesn't simply say in the Torah, soim tosim melech, appoint a king. It says, appoint a king over you, underline the word, olecho. Soim tosim olecho melech. The appointment of the king has to be, you appoint him on you. What does it mean, on you? His presence has to be felt on you. Shetehe emosoi, his emo, his all, has to be upon you. And from that we learn, that is a constant requirement. A person also always has to feel that awe of the king, and the king has no right to waive his honor. So with regard to the Nossi, a Nossi can waive his honor. If he's moichel on his kovod, kvodei mochel. But a melech cannot be moichel his honor by any circumstance whatsoever, because we have a drosha, soim tosim olecho melech. That is the end of the question. Now, is there anybody here who can explain to me the Gemara's question? Until I worked out what it means, it took me a little bit of a while. What is the Gemara's question? The Gemara's asking, what's going on? Surely a king is not allowed to waive his honor. Okay, so what's the question? Where did we say otherwise? The words that preceded this passage of the Gemara is loy chaylitz v'loy chaylitzin. And Rashi explained the reason why is because of his... So he doesn't do chalitza because of his honor. So what exactly is the Gemara's question? But he's not allowed to waive his honor. Okay, very good. That's why he doesn't do chalitza. What's the question of the Gemara?
Maybe it's a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda.
Oh, shkoyach Ramesh Zelig. Until I crack this, it's very deceptive. Why? Because there's one little word that gives it all away. Look back in the Gemara, it says, Loi choyleitz v'loi choyltsin. What's the next word? V'chulei. What does v'chulei mean? Etc. Etc. is going on the continuation of that sentence. In other words, it's going on the opinion that says that he can do chalitza. So this is a little, that's what I said. It's actually a very easy piece of Gemara. It's just deceptive. When I was reading this Gemara, I was learning this Gemara in preparation on Shabbos, and I see, loy chaylitz v'loy chaylitzin. Okay, that's the opinion of the Rabbanon, that he doesn't do chalitza. For reasons Rashi just explained, because we have to honor him. So why is the Gemara asking, how can he waive his honor? He's not. The answer is, as Ramesh Selig says, we're not pointing at the opinion of the Rabbanon. Rather, it's v'chule, etc. It's going on the continuation of the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? That the king doesn't do chalitza. Rabbi Yehuda, however, says that if he wants to, he can. And that is what the Gemara is asking. The Gemara is not asking on Rabbanon. It's asking on Rabbi Yehuda. How can Rabbi Yehuda, that's why the v'chule is critical. If I were you, I'd underline the word v'chule. After it says, loy choylitz v'loy choltzin, v'chuloy, etc. The question is on the etc. It's not on the first opinion, it's on the second opinion. Once you crack that, then the rest of the Gemara is very straightforward. So we're really questioning Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. How can Rabbi Yehuda possibly say that if he chooses to do chalitza, he may do so, as if to say that he can overlook, he can forfeit his honor. That's the Gemara's question. Surely you're not allowed to do that. Because even if you hold that a Nossi can forego his honor, but a Melech cannot. Answers the Gemara, a two-word answer. Mitzvah Shani. For a mitzvah is different. What does that mean, for a mitzvah is different? If somebody wants to, for example, sit on the throne of the king, which is clearly a lack of respect, and the king says, that's fine, I overlook my honor. No, that is not allowed to do. But over here, why is he forfeiting his honor? He's forfeiting his honor for purposes of a mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Yibum and chalitza. Under those circumstances, he's allowed to forfeit his honor. Therefore, it's a simple question with a simple answer. How can Rabbi Yehuda suggest that he can forfeit his honor? And if he so chooses, he can actually do yibum or chalitza? And the answer is, yes, he can do so for the purpose of a mitzvah. If it's the purpose of a mitzvah, he can overlook his honor. Now, this, by the way, poses a very interesting question, because there is a Gemara, and Tosis talks about this in Ksubos. The Gemara talks about, can a king dance at a wedding to Mesameach Chasan V'Kala? And the Gemara there discusses that also it would be a lack of his honor. I don't want to start seeing that the king juggling and jumping up and down in a whole jig. So the question would be, but one second, based on our Gemara, why don't we say that, no, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to Mesameach Chasan V'Kala. And for the purposes of a mitzvah, a king is allowed to forego on his honor. Yeah, Larry.
We had this exact maestro with David and Melech and Michal.
There he was dancing in front of the Torah. It wasn't a Chasan V'Kala. So there was
but still, you know, and she said to him, you're embarrassing yourself. And
the Gemara says in Ksubas in Daf Yud Zayin that the king is not allowed to dance in front of the Chasan V'Kala. It's not considered his honor. So the question would be, why doesn't that contradict our Gemara? Surely for purposes of a mitzvah, it should be permissible. So have a look at Tosfos over here on Daf Yud Tesam versus the top Tosfos. Dibur HaMaschil mitzvah. Mitzvah Shani says Tosfos, V'ki haigavna loy mashani hashas. This type of teretz, the Gemara does not answer Gabay HaMelach She'ovar lifnei hakalo, with regard to the king passing in front of the kalo. We're over there, we want to suggest that the Gemara says the perek or isha shenis aramun, or there the Gemara says that there is an issue, it's not considered covered of the melech. The Mashani, the Gemara over there answers Prashas derochim havoi, whatever, all different teretz. Va'amai loy mashani. Why did the Gemara simply not say two words, like it says over here, mitzvah shani? Just like over here, the Gemara said, yes, that the king cannot forfeit his honor, but for purposes of the mitzvah, he can. So why does the Gemara simply not say the same thing for the kala? Says Toisvas, v'yesh loima, no. Dahosam, because over there, what type of mitzvah are we talking about? The mitzvah of b'mesameach chasan v'kala is precisely a mitzvah in which you are being mechabed the chasan v'kala. So therefore, says Toisvas, v'yesh loima, dahosam ein ha-mitzvah ki im b'shvil Kvoid achasn v'kala. The whole mitzvah there is what? Giving somebody else honor. Under those circumstances, we say the kvoid melech, the honor of the king, is odif tfei, is more important mikvoid achasn and the kala. The imkain, like a mitzvah, therefore there is no mitzvah. Over here, we're talking about a mitzvah, which is not to honor other people. It's just to perform the mitzvah of Yibum. Mitzvah ikka. Over here, there will be a mitzvah. So Tosis is drawing a distinction. It depends what the nature of the mitzvah is. If it's a regular mitzvah, then enochanami. That's when the Gemara says that indeed, talocha would be that mitzvah is shani and you can forfeit your honor. But where the whole nature of the mitzvah is in fact a mitzvah which is to honor others, well then we're not going to honor others at the price of the king's own honor, even though it's a mitzvah. So under those circumstances, we're going to say, listen, there's the honor of the chosn and kala at stake. There's the honor of the king at stake. I'm very sorry to tell you, the kavod of the melech overrides the kavod of the chosn and the kala. Even though it's true, it's a mitzvah to be mechabed and misameach chosn the kala. Nonetheless, the kavod of the melech is paramount importance, and that therefore overrides all. And that's why the Gemara could not give a teretz of mitzvah shani.
Do we consider a chosn to be a king? Is there a thing like that?
Correct. Chosn doim al melech.
So maybe that's why the king can't dance. Everybody views him as Ke'ilu king, but he is the king. So therefore, he can't be mechabed.
Okay.
As opposed to the Torah, with David HaMelech, it's a totally different inyan.
Yep, so you're quite right. So Lamaisa, when we say chosn doim al melech, some people think that this is just a hashkafic turn of phrase. It's actually a halacha. A chosn, when he gets married and during Sheva Brachas, has various halachas of a melech. He has to dress in Shabbos clothes. He has to be accompanied. He's not allowed to do some malacha. It's to an extent like Chol HaMoed for him. There are halachic ramifications of the principle of chosn doim al melech.
Isn't the mitzvah Yibum all about kavod also? You mean mechabed the brother that died?
It's not essentially kavod. It's not essentially kavod. It's more to perpetuate the memory of. It's not an inyan of just being mesameach and mechabed to make a good feeling. That's what kavod is all about. Okay, I'd like to go back. We're holding at the two dots. We always like to do chazorah. I don't want to run out of time before the end of Zman, and we only have tomorrow, Tuesday, and possibly Wednesday. So I'd like to go back to the beginning of the perek, and we're going to do a brief chazorah, and if we still have time at the end of Zman, then we'll continue a little piece of Gemara as well. So we're going to make a start. Kohen Gadol don v'donin oisai. A Kohen Gadol can both judge and judge others. We'll see. The Gemara said this is talking about Ari Miklat. We'll discuss in a moment. Me'id u'me'idin oisai can testify and can be testified against. Choleitz v'choltzin le'ishtoi. Both does chalitza and they do chalitza to his wife. U'me'yabmin es ishtoi. If he dies, they could do yibum to his wife. Aval hu einoy me'yabim. But he cannot do yibum to others. Why not? Me'pnei shu osur ba'almona. Because he's not allowed to marry an almona. So if his brother dies and leaves an almona, the Kohen Gadol cannot now marry her because he's forbidden to marry an almona. Meis loy meis. If a close family relative of his died, einoy yoytze achar hamito. He would not follow the mito, means he doesn't participate fully in the funeral. Ela, if you remember this, hey nichsin vahu nigle, hey niglin vahu nichse. When they appear, he disappears. When they disappear, he appears. Rashi explained, the Gemara explained, that each street, as the coffin disappears from that street, then the Kohen Gadol can enter. Why is that? We'll see in a moment. V'yoytze imohen ad pesach shar ha'ir. And he will follow them until the right to the outskirts of the city, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So if you remember, we discussed, the reason is because we're worried that if he gets too close to the coffin, he might become Tomei. And we learned this from the Pasuk, Mina Migdosh Lo Yetze. He translated that not to be literal as in don't leave the Beis HaMikdash, but rather don't leave your Kedusha. You've got to protect your Kedusha, therefore don't get too close to the coffin. However, says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that no, Einoi Yotze Min HaMikdash. He learns it literally. He mustn't leave the Beis HaMikdash, Vishim Shanema, when HaMikdash Lo Yotze. Or Keshehu Menachem Acherim, when he now comforts others. Derech Kol Ha'om, Oivrin Bezeach Hazeh. The Om, the masses all pass through one after another, and he will also pass through. Remember, we discussed this in the Gemara, that in the times of the Mishnah, it was not the Ovel walking through the two lines, but rather the Ovel remained stationary and everybody else filed past. So everybody will file past, and now the Kohen Gadol, who's going to be Menachem, the Hamamuna, who's the Mamuna? We saw this in the Gemara, it is the Sgan, it's the deputy Kohen Gadol, Mematzoi, will centralize him, will make him in the middle, Beinoi Lebein Ha'om. So you'll have the Mamuna on one side, you'll have the masses on the other side, such that the Kohen Gadol will be flanked on either side, clearly as a sign of respect. That is when he's comforting others. Ukeshehu misnachei me'achirim, when he is being comforted from others, kol ha'om oimrim loy, all of the people will say to him, onu kaporosecho, we are your kapora, we, as it were, take responsibility for this. And he responds by saying, tisboruchu min hashamayim, may you all be blessed min hashamayim. Ukeshemavrin oisoi, remember we discussed, this is the Sudas Havro'o, the very first meal after the Levaya. Kol ha'om subin ala oretz, v'hu may save al hasafso. So even though he should be the one sitting on the ground, again, because he's a Kohen Gadol, it's a lack of honor, and he does not do so. That's all with regard to the Kohen Gadol. Now the Mishnah switches track to the Melech. Ha-Melech loidon. This is the opposite of a Kohen Gadol. V'loidon in oisoi, loimeid, loimeid in oisoi, loy choyletz, loy choyletzin le'ishtoi, loy meyabim, v'loy meyabim le'ishtoi. This is the line we just saw. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer imrot so lachloid so liyabim zocher latoiv, as we saw today, because it's for a mitzvah. Omruloi, no, absolutely, we're not having any of this. Ein shemin loy. We do not listen to him. He has no business waiving his honor, even for a mitzvah. Says the Mishnah in conclusion. Ein noisin al menusoi. One cannot marry the widow of, even if it's not in a Yibum situation, one cannot marry the widow of the king. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer that no, he can. Noisei HaMelech al Menusei. The king, so he doesn't totally disagree, he says, the king, one king can marry the Almona Shel Melech. So even though I may well agree with you that a regular person cannot marry the widow of a king, but one king can marry the widow of another king. How do I know? Shekein motzinu b'David, because we have a precedent from this, from David HaMelech, Shenosa al menusei shel Shaul. He married the widow of the king Shaul. So what's going on? I thought you're not allowed to marry the widow of a king. The answer is because David HaMelech himself was a king. So one king can marry, apparently, the widow of another. How do we know that was the case? Shenema ve'etno lecho es beis adoinecho ve'es neshei adoinecho, and the wives of your master, meaning your wives of Shaul HaMelech v'chekecho. So we seem to have a clear precedent, although the next Gemara Mishnah that we'll learn, we'll discuss this at great length. Is that exactly what happened or not? Big discussion. But the simple understanding of the Pasuk is that yes, David HaMelech married the widow of Shaul HaMelech. So you see that one king can actually marry the widow of another. Okay, let's make a start to the Gemara. Kohen Gadol don, quote unquote, pshita. Poshet. Why should a Kohen Gadol not be able to judge? If you remember, we spoke about a melech is a whole different story. A melech can't be on the bezdin, etc., etc. But a Kohen Gadol, why can't a Kohen Gadol judge? What's the chiddush? Obviously, he can. Says the Gemara, you're right. Donin oisoi, quote unquote, it's trichale. What's necessary to be taught is not Kohen Godel Don, that's not a chidush, but rather the second halacha, the fact that Don in Oisoi, that one can judge the Kohen Godel, that is the chidush. Now, why is that a chidush? Says the Gemara, Honami Pshita. Surely that's also Pashat, Eloi Dainan Lei, Ihu Hechidayim. Well, obviously, those two things have to be. So just one second, there's a bit of screaming outside the door. I'm just going to ask them to quiet. Those are two halves of one coin. If you judge, then you can be judged. So once you've agreed that it's obvious that he can judge others, well, then by definition, it must also be obvious that he can be judged. You cannot have one without the other. Because Eloi dainin olei, if they cannot judge him, then Ihu heichi dain, and how can he judge others? V'hoksiv, his koishishu v'koishu, rotzalema, v'omar ashlokish, k'shoit atzmecha, v'achakach k'shoit acherim. You can fix others, but only if you fix yourself. So if you cannot be judged, then you cannot judge others. So if we all agree that the Kohen Gadol obviously can judge others, well, in turn, it must be equally obvious that he can be judged as well. Those two have to go hand in hand. Says the Gemara, you're quite right. None of that is a chiddush at all. It's all there for purposes of symmetry. Elo aidi de kaboi lemisni. Because we wanted a state in the second half of the Mishnah with regard to a melech, loy don veloy don in oisoi. We said a king is the opposite. He cannot judge, neither can he be judged. Therefore, tonanami kohen gadol don v'donin. Therefore, for purposes of symmetry, we want to compare and contrast the kohen gadol to the melech. So in the case of the melech, we wanted to teach that he cannot be judged and he cannot judge. So for purposes of contrast, we write that the other side of the coin is that the kohen gadol can do both. But if you're asking me, technically speaking, what's the chiddush, I'll be very honest, you're right, it's not a chiddush. Okay, let's just try and finish off the Gemara to the two dots. V'iboyes eima, alternatively, hokomash malon, maybe an alternative answer is that we're being taught the following. K'detanya, as we have learned in a brace, it says, Kohen Gadol shahorages anefesh b'meizid. If a Kohen Gadol killed somebody by on deliberately neherag, then he is killed. If it is b'shoigeg, then it is goyle. If he kills by accident, then he's exiled. V'over al aseiv al aloisas. We'll see what that means in a second. V'harei hu kehediot l'chol dvarav. And for purposes of when he commits a murder, either by accident or deliberately, he's considered like a regular person. Says the Gemara, b'meizid neherag pshita. Isn't it obvious if he kills on purpose, obviously he must himself be killed? So Gemara says, you're right. B'shoigeg goyle, it's trichale. The chidush is that if he kills by accident, then he goes to Golos. Now, why is that a chidush? Honami pshita, isn't that also obvious? No. It's trich, I need to be taught that halacha. Why do I need to be taught that halacha? Says the Gemara, because I would have thought, seeing as it says, how long does one remain in Golos until the Kohen Gadol dies? Well, over here, in this particular case, that cannot apply, because he is the Kohen Gadol, which means he has no possibility of ever leaving Golos. So perhaps, Eima, I might have said, that kol de'isle takanta v'chazara, it's only somebody who's got the remedy of possibly being returned back home, legally, he gets exiled in the first place, comma. But the less later come to the Chazara, but if somebody has no possibility of ever being returned home, maybe loy legally, maybe he should not be exiled. The Tanan, and we have a precedent for that because it says, Ha'hoire Kohen Gadol, Oy Kohen Gadol, Shaharages Anefesh, Eino Yotze Mishom La'olam. You see that he's doomed, he's going to stay there forever. So if he has to stay there forever, he's got no possibility of ever coming home, maybe I shouldn't exile him in the first place. If that's the case, Eima lo illegally. So maybe he should not be exiled. Komash malon. That's why I need to be taught that he is exiled. That's what the Braisa meant. when it says that if the Kohen Gadol kills by accident, he's exiled. Isn't that obvious? Not so obvious. I would have thought that actually he should not be exiled. Why not? Because he can never have the possibility of coming home. Says the Gemara, Ve'ema Hachanami. So maybe indeed so. How do you actually know that he is exiled? Amakra lonos shoma kol, Reitzeach, underline the word kol. We have a special pasuk. It says every single Reitzeach has to be exiled there. Afilu Kohen Gadol b'mashma, even the Kohen Gadol is included in this as well. So in other words, we now have our teretz. Our Mishnah said that the Our Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol judges and is judged. And we asked, isn't that obvious? So the first teretz was, yes, you're right, it's obvious, and it's just there for symmetrical purposes. The second teretz is, no. We're talking about a specific case. The Chiddush of the Mishnah, when it says that the Kohen Gadol is judged, what's that talking about? He's judged for purposes of Golos. Why is that a Chiddush? Why would I have thought that the Kohen Gadol is exempt for Golos? The answer is because once he goes there, he can never get out. So I would have thought that you could only go to Golos if you've got the potential of getting out. Kohen Gadol who cannot get out, maybe doesn't get exiled. That's why the Mishnah says no, because it says in the Pasuk, Kol Reitzeach, even the Kohen Gadol, and therefore that is the Chiddush of the Mishnah. So yes, under most circumstances, the fact that the Kohen Gadol is judged, that may well not be a Chiddush. But the fact that he gets judged in the case of Golos, yes, that is the Chiddush. Okay, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick this up and we'll do Chazara. Tomorrow will be Tuesday and we'll try and finish the Chazara. And then with regard to Wednesday, we'll discuss tomorrow what the program is. Okay, be well. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Good call. Have a good day.
Thank you.